This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Once again, I'm joined by our nutritionist in residence, Layla Mudin, with whom I practice on a daily basis here in New York City. And it's our weekly Q&A session. You can send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, and we'll get to as many questions as we can this hour. So what's up next?
Okay, we've got an email from Linda. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I enjoy your programs through podcasts and share many of them with my friends. Thank you for them. They're great.
Well, thanks for sharing. Yeah.
I get atrial fibrillation from time to time, and I've discovered that happens when I eat soy sauce or MSG. I haven't had an episode for about 3 months now because I'm being more careful with what I eat. Question. I've eliminated soy sauce from my diet, but could you tell me if a natural soy alternative, such as Bragg's liquid aminos, would be okay since it's more natural?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so interesting, you know, what is Bragg's liquid aminos? It comes in a bottle. And it's available in all the health food stores. It's a legacy product.
Yeah, it's even in the regular grocery stores now.
It's forever.
Yeah.
And it is soy derived.
Yes.
So what they do, how they make it, is they take soybeans and they apply hydrochloric acid to the soybeans to break down the protein bonds. Proteins like little necklaces of amino acids.
Yes.
And the hydrochloric acid hydrolyzes those bonds, breaks the bonds, and creates individual amino acids. And then they neutralize the acid, because it'd be very acid with all that hydrochloric acid, with sodium bicarbonate. And in a chemical reaction, the HCl plus the Na bicarb, the NaHCO3, you get the Na and the Cl, and that gives you NaCl, which is salt.
Salt,
which gives you salty flavor.
Right.
And so you got amino acids, which have kind of a umami taste.
That's umami.
Yeah, that's that.
That's that meat flavor broth.
Yeah.
Smoky.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite taste buds.
Like, you know, a fish sauce and so on.
Salami.
And so what's the difference? I mean, it's made from soy, and so is soy sauce. So with soy sauce versus Bragg's amino, what's the difference? Well, with soy sauce, you get a fermentation process, and the fermentation is usually done with something called aspergillus. Aspergillus.
Which is a mold.
Which is a mold.
Yeah.
And so that's why some people react. I know many of our patients have a terrible time with soy sauce. They react badly to soy sauce. Now, in addition, cheap soy sauce has MSG added.
Yes.
And it has sodium benzoate and other additives.
A common preservative. Right. Yes.
And the nice thing about Bragg's aminos.
And wheat.
And wheat often. Sometimes it's not pure soy. It does have some wheat.
Wheat.
So people with gluten sensitivities have problems with that. Plus, soy sauce is mostly made from GMO soy.
That's true.
Yeah. And Bragg's aminos is not made from GMO soy, for whatever benefit that confers. So I'm pretty sure there are going to be some people who have some problems with Bragg's aminos.
Sure.
For one reason or another. But there's less of the incriminating ingredients.
Yeah.
And it tastes good. You know, it can be used as a marinade for meat.
Absolutely.
Or for you trying to achieve an Asian flavor.
In your stir fry or something like that.
With ginger or something like that as a sauce. Maybe throw in a little fish sauce for more authentic flavor.
I think the only folks that should stay away are those who have a soy allergy. Soy is one of the top 8 food allergens.
You know, there's another alternative which is very good. I use it a lot. If you don't want soy, you really want to stay away from soy completely. There's another product that's very nice. It's called Coconut Aminos. And you can order it through Thrive Market, which is an online dispensary. By the way, did you know that Kushner, who's the son-in-law of Trump, his brother is actually one of the entrepreneurs behind Thrive Market.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't know. I mean, it's like private equity supporting that, so investors. Uh-huh. And Thrive Market is, you know, got a lot of natural products. I order a lot. I mean, I just ordered like $235. Whoa.
Wow. The audience had to hear that one. It sure registered.
It's registered. We're having a little bit of a
thunderstorm.
An August thunderstorm.
Yeah.
Provide authenticity to this podcast here.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the coconut aminos you can get from Thrive, I just ordered like a big order of mostly non-perishable groceries from them, you know, like mm-hmm. more condiments and nuts and things that don't spoil. You mm-hmm. know, obviously fresh vegetables and fresh meats you generally get, you know, from other sources. But, you know, if you want a box of basic ingredients, you know, whatever you want. You want apple cider vinegar, you want good prices.
Bragg's is a good one for that too, apple cider vinegar. Absolutely. I love that stuff. Yeah. Linda has another question. Also, I take many supplements that you've suggested, including magnesium. But what is the one you recommend? Something that begins with a pro, and I didn't understand the name of it. Protosorb magnesium. It's Protosorb. Protosorb magnesium.
Which is the magnesium 3-8.
3-8.
Right.
Exactly.
Which is more of the brain magnesium for anxiety.
Yeah. What we were talking about earlier.
Or maybe chronic fatigue syndrome, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, Linda, yeah.
Or depression, taking, you know.
Even, yeah.
Because we now think of, you know, depression is a brain disorder, and we improve the energetics of the brain, and your brain goes from a, you know, 25-watt light bulb to 125-watt light bulb.
Psychoneuroimmunology.
There you go.
Inflammation causing depression.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the brain, it's not just inflammation in the gut, or a leaky gut, it's a leaky brain.
Mm-hmm.
So this is...
An inflamed brain. And curcumin can play a role in that too. And there again, we use a type of curcumin that's said to cross the blood-brain barrier. It's called cogumin.
Yes.
Because that would be the type of curcumin we might use for cognitive problems, MS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. Memory trouble.
Memory trouble and depression. Because there are actually some studies that show that curcumin...
Wow. Boomers, everyone.
Wow.
We have sound effects on today's podcast.
Yes. Brought to you courtesy of Mother Nature. Okay.
Okay. Linda, take good care of that AFib. All right. Let's see here. Oh, we've got a very interesting email.
Can foods trigger AFib?
Yes.
What goes on with that? Why?
It could be, well, first of all, AFib can be triggered by A, unstable blood sugar, B, alcohol, which mm-hmm. becomes unstable blood
sugar. Called holiday heart.
Holiday heart?
Is that's two
H's. Okay, that's interesting. It can be caused by any food intolerance that may cause palpitations.
Remember the COCA pulse test? Do you remember that? Okay,
yes.
That's very old-fashioned. In the 60s and 70s, there was an allergist named COCA.
Mm-hmm.
Who was, you know, they termed those people clinical ecologists in those days, you know, mm-hmm. sort of unconventional allergists. And, you know, everybody had their way of determining allergies. And, you know, was it a skin test? Was it a blood test? And they asked COCA, you know, how do you determine whether a person's allergic to a food? And he said, I would feed them food and then I would check their pulse.
Yep.
And note very carefully. And that there actually is an effect on the autonomic nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Of a food intolerance. It's almost like an alarm reaction by the body. And it may trigger a pulse change.
Yeah. And pulse normally would go
speed up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the case of somebody who has palpitations or worse yet, atrial fibrillation, which is a more severe form of an arrhythmia, they might go from a normal rhythm to atrial fibrillation. So this woman, I mean, he sounds like he's a figment of her imagination. Why? You know, soy sauce gives her atrial fibrillation. But there is something to that.
There is something to that. Yeah. Okay.
A good point at which to pause because we love to give our sponsors a little bit of a forum to share their vital message with you. So here goes. Listen up.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1. with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these Harvest Fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to Layla, who's got our next question.
Yes, this comes from Nick. So Nick is a subscriber of the Intelligent Medicine newsletter and read your article, Dr. Hoffman, 24 Ways We Should Fundamentally Transform Our Healthcare System. Nick says, I hope you've sent this to the POTUS, to the President of the United States.
Yeah, I'm really in like Flint with the President.
He's my homie from Queens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, he is for you?
Okay. He is for me. Right. Okay. I hope you've sent this to POTUS. Like him or not, he is one person who is not afraid to buck the system.
Okay. Well, it's going to take some really disruptive thinking, I think, to change the system, because this incrementalism, these minor little tweaks and reforms,
yeah.
It's all about rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, you know, whether it's, Obamacare or no Obamacare.
Yeah.
We're really headed for a crisis, and we're going to need to do something. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So please check out that article. I think a lot of people approved of my suggestions.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will see what the future holds. Okay. Nick, thank you for that. This is from Dennis. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Your recent podcast on vaccines was interesting and, if true, disturbing. Could you please discuss your feelings on what vaccines are actually useful?
Well,
I can't imagine a world without the polio and smallpox vaccines.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure there must be others that are useful and not life-threatening.
Okay, so I interviewed Dr. Thomas Cowan, who is a very thoughtful critic of vaccines. And I posed that exact question because, he went on for, many minutes enumerating the harmful effects of vaccines. Mm-hmm. They're our toxic ingredients in vaccines.
Yes.
And B, more importantly, they confer an artificial form of immunity, he believes, he contends, which undermines our immune systems in some way. So finally got around to the key question. And he said, I've done a lot of radio interviews and they always ask me this question. And the question was, okay, given that vaccines cumulatively are harmful, but given the reality of the situation, which is that it's really hard to get around in the world without any vaccinations. You can't go to preschool. You can't get enrolled in public school. You can't go to most universities.
You can't work in a hospital.
You can't. I mean, and there's some states which now make it compulsory to have vaccines.
Yeah.
So can you minimize the harm? Can you take certain vaccines but eschew certain other ones that are less mandatory? Is there a prioritization? Is there a way of, like, instead of taking quadrivalent vaccines, which is four things at a time, can you take just the individual vaccines to put less of a load on the immune system of the child? And this is actually something that I'm going through in my family because we have a couple of young kids and, we're trying to decide, What do we do? What's the practical solution here? Because we recognize that there are potential harms, but we also recognize the reality of the situation, that there are some very serious diseases out there, and kids may be prey to them. And the way that Thomas Cowan answered it was in a very pure way, but also not a very practical way. He said, I'm not going to get into the politics of this. I'm just, as a scientist, I am saying that vaccines, our whole thrust towards vaccination, is undermining our health. And I said, well, can't you give us an example of a vaccine schedule? He said, no, I'm not going to go there. I said, well, I guess what you're saying is it's sort of like you're not going to go into harm reduction. You're just saying as a blanket statement that we ought to rethink the whole idea of vaccines.
Wow.
Now, that's not a very practical stance.
It's not, is it?
Mm. Yeah. So, that's, I think, you know, was sort of the unsatisfactory aspect of that interview.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand his perspective.
Sure.
You know, he said, it's not my problem.
Yeah.
Basically, he said, you know, I'm just saying what the science is leading me to believe. And by the way, he's a pediatrician.
Uh-huh.
He is on the West Coast, where California laws are now very draconian about vaccines. He has three children. You know, he's not immune to the problem. None of the kids in his practice are vaccinated, and his children aren't vaccinated.
Wow.
He says his three children have had whooping cough, which is thought to be a dread disease. He said they had a mild case and they recovered.
Huh.
And, you know, that's that.
Wow.
Take it or leave it.
Wow. That's pretty refreshing, too.
Well, it's a hangout position.
Yeah. Wow. Well, let's think about it. I mean, besides the toxins and the vaccines, the prevalence of autoimmune diseases being on the rise.
Yeah.
And there's a question about vaccination having to do with that.
He's also saying, for example, you know, having a disease and having it run its normal course, like whooping cough, it has,
mumps, chicken pox,
it affects the immune
measles.
System, but it's, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
And by
or gives you shingles.
In a natural process.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can
yeah.
have, I mean, having chicken pox
well,
puts you at risk
you
later in life
yeah.
of having shingles. And now there's a shingles vaccine that's
yeah.
pretty effective.
Yeah.
See, that, by the way, his position is not my position.
Okay.
My position is that I think we can be judicious about vaccines. We can delay a little bit. What we really need, I think, is...
And that's what Dennis wants to know, what you believe.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to say, I don't think we have the answers yet. The ideal situation would be to do some research to determine which kids might be at higher risk genetically.
Okay.
For vaccine reactions, because
okay.
not all kids have reactions.
That's true.
You know, what Cowan would say is, well, just because the kids aren't, like, crippled by the vaccines doesn't mean that they're not having some subtle, long-term adverse effects of having been vaccinated.
Agreed. Okay.
You know, that their immunity will suffer later on in some way, and then
okay.
they might be prone to an autoimmune disease later in life.
Hmm.
Or that the aluminum in the vaccine may affect their brain and make mm-hmm. them more likely to... join the tens of millions of Americans who get Alzheimer's.
Because the mercury has been replaced with aluminum.
Yeah. Well, there's some mercury.
Some.
There's some formaldehyde. There's some other adjuvants, polysorbate, and things like that.
Okay.
These are all natural substances that are designed to actually sort of boot up the immune system
yeah.
so the vaccine takes. And what are the effects of that in someone who might have a potential to go into immune overdrive?
Yes.
And we're seeing that with... some of the girls who are getting this HPV vaccine, they're getting like a chronic fatigue-like illness.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes very devastating. There have been a few deaths. You know, is it warranted?
Mm-hmm.
Is it warranted? Are we trying to eradicate one problem and we're creating another problem?
Yeah.
I'm almost reluctant to talk about the vaccine thing.
Yeah.
Because it also engenders such violent emotions
mm-hmm.
by partisans of vaccines,
yeah.
you know, who say it's irresponsible to talk this way because we're undermining the public trust in vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to stop getting shots. None of these diseases are going to come back. And, you know,
you think polio would come back?
Well, you know, the contention of Thomas Cowan is that modern methods of sanitation have made it less likely that polio will come back.
Okay.
But, you know, the polio is particularly compelling for people of our generation because we grew up as baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the older baby boomers, the baby boom is like 46 through...
So 64.
Right, is literally, parents were absolutely petrified that their children should get polio. And you
yeah.
had the poster child for polio in the President of the United States, who was FDR.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually still see patients, older patients now, who have had polio, and they're disabled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're...
Or they have post-polio syndrome.
Post-polio syndrome. And,
yeah.
you know, they, if not paralyzed from it, they have
yeah.
residual problems from polio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why polio seemed to really take off and crest in an epidemic in the mid-20th century
mm-hmm.
and not before and not after, was it the vaccine campaign entirely or was it a disease that ran its course or modern methods of sanitation have made it less likely to occur? Who knows?
Hmm.
You know, but that's often cited as a triumph of vaccine science, is that we eradicated a disease that was a terrible specter that was held over the heads of parents.
Hmm.
in our parents' generation.
Okay. Dennis, thank you for that very, very thoughtful question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have time for a quick question or comment? Is it such a thing?
Yes. As a matter of fact, okay, from Cheryl, who's done the Whole 30.
Yeah.
Dr. Hoffman, thank you for your reports on the Whole 30 diet. I jumped on the bandwagon after reading your experience, and all I could say is wow.
Oh, good, good. Good,
I've done a strict Whole 30 for about 4 months. I lost 5 pounds. My energy is through the roof. I don't miss the forbidden food, grains, legumes, dairy. In fact, I don't want to go back to eating these foods. Would it be okay for me to stick to a strict Whole 30 permanently? I'm a 62-year-old postmenopausal woman. Would I be missing something by not eating dairy for my bones?
Why not? I'm virtually on that myself. Mm. And
we don't need dairy, Cheryl. For your bones.
And I'm not religious about it. I mean, I had some delicious quinoa, which is a grain.
A gluten-free grain, a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the summer I'm a little more lax.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have some corn, which is a grain.
Yeah.
It's a great template.
It is.
And you can do sort of the, and I think even Melissa, what's her name, Hartnap?
Hartwick.
Hartwick,
yes.
Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah.
Yes.
She's Hartwig, yeah. She herself has written a book of like, what do you do after you've done the Whole 30? Because otherwise,
do it again.
If you do the Whole 30, it's like, great, I did the Whole 30. What's next? Goodbye. So once everybody in the world has cycled through the Whole 30, what's next?
Make it the whole 365.
Right. So basically, this is what she's saying. But she's also saying that she doesn't even follow the Whole 30 with such precision anymore. But she writes, her last book was about guidelines for basically sticking to it and not getting
neurotic.
It becomes
the core.
Yeah.
It becomes the core.
Yeah.
You stray out to the fringes from time to time.
Yeah.
You come back.
Yeah.
And I think the evidence is how you feel or how reactive you are.
And your weight to some extent.
Yes,
because,
totally.
Because what I noticed is that I went to a new set point. And I wasn't trying to lose weight. I mean, I look at previous pictures of myself, I look different. And my pant size has changed. You know, I was buying like 33 and 34 pants. Now I always buy 32 pants.
Mm-hmm.
And so, my body's going to tell me if I jump on the scale or if like my pants are too tight that I'm moving in a direction where I'm straying too much.
Uh-huh.
Partly it's vanity and partly it's like, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Because you got a new wardrobe.
And I want to reiterate to Cheryl about dairy and bone health. You don't need dairy for your bone health. You need to make some nice soups and stews from scratch, bone broths, eat plenty of greens like collards and kale, eat broccoli, eat almonds, eat sardines with bones, eat salmon, canned salmon.
Is no more prevalent in Japan or China.
Yeah. And they don't eat dairy.
Yeah, most parts. Northern China and now Japan they're starting to have more dairy.
Yeah.
It's not essential. They sell dairy.
Yeah.
They sell dairy as a thing. I mean, look, if you want your kid to be an NBA basketball player, make sure, he has milk. Because that, will promote growth.
Right.
But at the expense
growth
of
factors.
Who knows what other problems. Yeah.
True. Thank you for your question, Cheryl. You can continue on Whole 30.
That's all the time that we have. We managed not to get struck by lightning, and that's a plus.
Yes.
Although we're comfortably ensconced inside. So thank you for your questions, and remember, radioprogram@AOL.com is the place to send them. We'll keep answering them as long as you send them. And thank you, Lila, for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links from my supplement starter kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle, and for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.